Welcome to the November edition of Ranger Rick, published by the National Wildlife Federation. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Linda Lydon. The front cover of this month's magazine features a European hedgehog. Hedgehogs. Hi, I'm Hermione. Ready to meet my prickly pals? Hello there. I just woke up from a long day's rest, and you caught me peeking out of my cozy, leaf-filled den. The sun is setting, and I'm ready for my nightly journey around the neighborhood. Glad to have you come along. But before we go, I have a question. Have you heard of a cartoon character named Sonic? Sonic may be the only hedgehog some of you know about, because there are no wild hedgehogs in the United States. So here's the truth. I am not blue. I do not run at lightning speed. But I do sometimes roll into a ball. Now, with that out of the way, here's more about me. I'm a European hedgehog, but you can call me a hedgie for short. Even though I may not be super quick, I do like to get around. I can walk up to 2 miles every night. So put on your walking shoes and I'll show you how hedgehogs really live. Garden visitors. Hedgies are nocturnal, which explains why I'm awake at night. During the day, I sleep somewhere hidden under a hedge or some leaves, inside a hollow tree, or even under a shed or the deck of a house. When the sun goes down, I set out on my all-night food quest. I eat mostly insects, worms, snails, and slugs. But sometimes I'll feast on eggs, frogs, or even small rodents. My eyesight isn't the best, but my pointy nose is super at sniffing out delicious treats. I have great hearing, too, which helps me detect my dinner moving around under the leaves and bushes. If you've heard me looking for food, you'd realize why I'm called hedgehog. I sound a bit like a pig, snorting and grunting while I root around on the ground or under hedges. For tasty treats, I often visit people's gardens and yards. I'm a gardener's best friend because I love to eat garden pests. Hedgehog highways. In the United Kingdom, where I live, there aren't as many hedgehogs as there used to be. Sadly, many have been hit by cars, and hedgy habitat has also been taken over by buildings, farms, roads. Some people are helping us by making their yards hedgehog-friendly. The cute little doorways in their fences for us to pass through. People call the pathways between the gardens hedgehog highways. Creating these connections helps us find enough food during our nightly walks. People also put food and water out for us. Normally, you should never feed wild animals, but scientists say the British hedgehog needs this extra help. Certain types of cat foods make good enough hedgehog meals when there aren't enough insects or slugs around. Helping hedgies this way is really important when you are trying to gain weight before hibernation. That's right, many European hedgehogs take long naps in the cold winter months. Prickly protection. We're well known for our spines. The spines help protect us from animals that might want to eat us, the way sharp quills protect porcupines. A single hedgehog has up to 6,000 of these prickly parts. They are made of keratin, the same stuff your hair and fingernails are made out of. When threatened, I curl up into a tight ball, hiding the soft, spineless part of my body. Baby hogs. In late spring, baby hedgehogs, known as hoglets, are born. A mother hedgehog usually has 2 litters of up to 6 hoglets each year. A newborn hoglet is about 3 inches long and weighs less than a pencil. Its spine pops out on its skin the next day. Ready for protection, the hoglet from danger. Hoglets stay with their moms for the first 6 months of life. Predators such as badgers and foxes would like to feast on young hoglets, so each mom keeps her babies close and safe. She also shows them how to find the best food and to avoid enemies. Eventually, the hoglets are ready to head out on their own. Meet the cousins. There are 17 species of hedgehogs living in parts of Europe, Asia, and Africa. All of them are nocturnal, have spines, and can roll into balls when scared. Let's meet two of Hermione's cousins. The long-eared hedgehog lives in Central Asia and parts of the Middle East. It is smaller than the European hedgehog, but can run much faster. It usually sleeps in a den it has dug under some bushes. So see those big ears? They let heat escape from the hedgehog's body, helping it stay cool in the hot climate. The desert hedgehog is one of the smallest hedgehogs, but it has the longest spines. It lives in very dry, hot places in parts of North Africa and the Middle East. Eagles, owls, and other birds of prey are its biggest enemies. The Buzz, Kids Conservationist. Jack Dalton, age 13, loves orangutans. It all started when he was 8 years old, a visit to the Memphis Zoo. That's where he learned that orangutans are very cute, very smart, and very endangered. They also have red hair, just like Jack's. What endangers them? People cut down the rainforest in Malaysia and Indonesia, where orangutans live. They do this to plant palm trees to make palm oil. And orangutans can't survive without the mix of trees and other plants that make up the natural rainforest home. Jack knew we had to tell the world about the danger orangutans are in. So we started a YouTube channel to make educational videos about endangered apes. He also began visiting schools, museums, and zoos to spread the word. And he wrote a book with a zookeeper named Lexi Yang. She's the zookeeper he met on the visit to the Memphis Zoo when he was 8. The book is called Kawan, the Orangutan, Lost in the Rainforest. Last year, Jack won the Gloria Barron Prize for Young Heroes. He's our hero, too. Learn more about Jack and how you can help orangutans at kidconservationist.com. Reader Riddles. What is big, gray, and jumpy? A hippopotamus. That comes from Travis A. in Colorado. What artist do boars like best? Pablo Picasso. That comes from Jude W. in Washington. What dinosaur likes to sing with others? A Tyrannosaurus rex. That comes from Adrian Y. in Michigan. What insect can tell time? A clock roach. That comes from Zuri W. in California. Why is an owl the most forgetful bird? Because it always asks, who, who, who? That comes from Parker N. in Maryland. And where do polar bears vote? The North Pole. That comes from Olivia E. in Iowa. Meet the whale shark, the biggest fish in the world. A whale of a shark. The whale shark is full of surprises. It has whale in its name, but it's not a whale. It has a mouth wide enough for you to fit inside, but a whale shark eats only tiny foods. And even though it's gigantic, it's as gentle as a pussycat. Like the shark it is. Whale shark is a good name for this huge fish. That's because even though it's a shark, it has things in common with whales too. Most things about it are all shark. Though, for example, a whale shark has no bones. Like other sharks, it has a skeleton made out of cartilage, the same bendy stuff that's in your nose and ears. The skeletons of whales, on the other hand, are made of bones. Also, a whale shark breathes underwater using gills. It gets oxygen from the water, so it doesn't have to come up for air. But a whale has lungs instead of gills. It needs to come up to the surface to breathe air through its blowhole. Here are a couple of other differences between a whale shark and a whale. While a whale's skin is smooth, a whale shark's skin is covered with small tooth-like scales called denticles. Also, sharks and whales have different tails. The pointed part of a whale shark's tail are at the top and bottom of the tail, while whale tails have the pointed parts on the sides. To swim, whales move their tails up and down, as you might guess, while sharks move theirs from side to side. Like the whale, it's not. But some things about whale sharks are whale-like. The whale part of its name comes from the fact that it's huge, as long as a school bus. And just as many kinds of whales do whale sharks eat zooplankton, tiny animals that drift through the water. To eat them, a shark swims along with its huge mouth open, or it may stay in one place, sucking in food like a vacuum cleaner. Big gulps. A whale shark has lots of very tiny teeth, about 300 rows of them, but it doesn't use them for chewing. Whale sharks are filter feeders, just as some kinds of whales are. As water and food come into a whale shark's mouth, the water filters back out through the gills while the food goes down the shark's throat. Big travels. Whale sharks live in warm waters all around the globe. Each year, they travel thousands of miles as they search for food. Scientists track one whale shark as it traveled more than 12,000 miles across the Pacific Ocean. Whale sharks have a great sense of smell for sniffing out fish eggs, krill, crab larvae, and other types of plankton. Big mystery. Some things about whale sharks are still unknown. For example, no one knows for sure where whale sharks go to have their babies or pups. And no one knows where young whale sharks spend their early years. Though no one has seen a whale shark giving birth, one female was found to have more than 300 pups in her body. Big problems. Sadly, whale sharks are endangered. There are fewer than half as many now as there were 75 years ago. They face a lot of problems, including getting caught in fishing nets, swallowing tiny bits of broken down plastic, and being hit by boats. But the good news is that scientists are studying whale sharks to learn all they can about them to keep them safe. In many places, special areas have been created where whale sharks are protected. With luck, these gentle giants will continue making their slow way through the ocean. Birth of an island. An undersea volcano spews up so much lava and ash that it forms a new island. What happens next? Let's keep reading. It all began in November of 1963. A volcano deep in the ocean of the southern coast of Iceland erupted. It began shooting up hot lava, steam, and ash. And it kept doing that for nearly 4 years. That stuff kept piling up until it rose above the water surface. Finally, it started cooling off and hardening into the rocky island you see here. It was named after Surtur, a mythical fire giant. Surtur's island translates into Surtsey in the Icelandic language. So in November 2003, we can say happy birthday, Surtsey. At 60 years of age, Surtsey is the youngest island on Earth. See the green patch above the sea cliffs? That means plants are growing there, right? But how did any life get started on a chunk of bare rock sticking up from the ocean? Ah, that's the very tale this island can tell. And who's listening? Scientists. They're the only people allowed to visit Surtsey, keeping track of what happens there over time. That way they can describe the steps a brand new island takes as it grows up naturally. Step 1. Plants were the first life form to settle, and the very first kind to do was sea rocket. How do plants get there? Their seeds likely washed ashore with the waves. Step 2. An animal that might easily reach an island would be a seabird. The first one to show up on search, say, was a black guillemot. Soon, more of these birds arrived and began to nest on the island. From there, they could just fly out to the water to snap up their seafood meals. Time ticks on. Over the years, more plants would arrive on Surtse, take root, and spread. Not all seeds came by water, though. Some blew in on the wind. Others hitchhiked on or in stomachs of birds. Meanwhile, the guillemots got a few more seabird neighbors. And then, step 3. Different kinds of gulls, such as the black-backed gulls, moved in and formed nesting groups called colonies. Along with the gulls came gull poop, often containing seeds from plants eaten elsewhere. The poop was a natural fertilizer mixed with dead plants. It made a new layer of rich soil for a greener island garden. Step 4. The gull colonies grew to young gulls. Young gulls would grow up, then make nests and raise chicks of their own. At left, you can see how the black volcano rock was becoming covered by green plants. Also notice how one mama gull had used the plants for making a soft nest to start laying her eggs. Step 5. In some of the same ways plant seeds had moved in, insects or their eggs, and other tiny creatures also arrived on the island. As the population grew, they attracted insect-eating songbirds, such as the white wagtail. Step 6. Now at age 60, Surtse continues to evolve. Of course, there's plenty of sea life in the waters around the island. That includes seals that come ashore to rest and breed. But the seals and birds are the only Surtse vertebrates, animals with backbones. Next steps. What do you think the future of Surtse might be? Will there be even more life moving in, or will the sea eventually wash the island away? The scientists can predict, but only time will tell for sure. The good news is that the island has been protected since it was first formed. The little hut in the photo below is the only building there. Visiting scientists use it for their studies. Wouldn't it be fun to find out how much Surtse would have changed by the time you turn 60? This has been the November edition of Ranger Rick, published by the National Wildlife Federation. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Linda Lydon.